T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We welcome in now one of the New Orleans great sons, Stan Verrett, ESPN's Stan Verrett, SportsCenter anchor, co-anchor. Stan, how are you and how is your family amidst this COVID-19 pandemic?
Well, I lost my cousin, Larry Mason, down there on Friday. So I'm going through with a lot of families are going through down there with this whole thing, and just praying for everybody and hope everybody takes this as seriously as it's turning out to be, and follow the guidelines, staying home and doing everything necessary to protect not only themselves but also their loved ones.
Stan, sorry for your loss.
Yeah, sorry to hear that, Stan.
Yeah, it's tough, but you know, I know a lot of other people are going through it too. So, you know, at this point, you know, we're all going to suffer these kinds of stories about people we know, whether it's a family member, friend, or relative, because it's really hit the community hard in the New Orleans area. So, all we can do at this point is try to minimize this by just doing the best we can to be smart.
Stan, what's it been like as a guy that co-anchors one of the biggest sports shows on national television to not have sports? How weird is it? Strange? Weird? How would you describe it?
You know, it's funny. It really just kind of hit me today. You know, I'm a real news junkie, and you know, I want to know everything that's going on. So I've spent like the last 2 weeks just kind of really educating myself on what this is and best practices and how to keep myself and my loved ones safe and just really just trying to find out as much information as I possibly can over the last couple of weeks and just kind of adjusting to this new reality. And then last night and today really kind of hit me that this is what it's going to be for a while. I haven't been on the air in 2 weeks. And this is just what it's going to be. I mean, our facility, I mean, LA is pretty much on lockdown at this point. Everything's closed. Everything. Our facility is in an entertainment complex called LA Live with bars and restaurants across the street from the Staples Center. You can't even get in there. And so it's just a whole new reality, and it's going to be our reality for a while. So we have to kind of just go with it and adapt so that we can survive.
Stan, I know you're a big Saints guy, and we can – provide a little bit of a distraction for everybody here. I'm curious to know your thoughts on what the Saints did in free agency, obviously paying Andrews Pete, bringing in Emmanuel Sanders, reuniting with Malcolm Jenkins.
Yeah, listen, those are two – Jenkins and Sanders are two veteran acquisitions that shore up a roster that's already, you know, Super Bowl caliber. And, you know, I think they looked at it. And, you know, look, I've heard a lot of comments about the ages of both guys, but they're still very productive players, and they provide leadership, and especially with Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, he, you know, Sean Payton always says that that's the one who got away. And so it's good to have them back. And hopefully, you know, they're the additional pieces that, you know, just take this team over the hump. You know, you win 37 games in 3 years. I mean, the roster's pretty solid. You know, and with Drew Brees coming back, you know, they should be right there in the mix of things this year and then this fall. And then if the health holds up and they get a couple of breaks when they need them, I mean, this could be it. This could be the storybook of Drew holding that trophy up again with a slightly older Phelan there with him.
Hey, Stan, listen, first of all, Stan is one of my favorite people favorite Twitter accounts to watch after a Sunday in the NFL. It seems inevitable he finds a way to take a shot at the Atlanta Falcons, which I really appreciate. And Stan, I want to wish you a late happy March 28th. I know we're a couple days late here, but I wanted to wish you a happy Falcons lost the Super Bowl day. And I also wanted to ask your opinion on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting the guy that engineered the greatest comeback in Saints history. maybe the second greatest comeback in Saints history, but Tom Brady going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really changes the face of the NFC South.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be really intriguing to watch, because now we're going to get a sense of, you know, whether it was Belichick's system or whether it was, how much of it was Brady and how much was, I mean, obviously it was a big amount of both that produces, you know, championships at that level with that frequency. So it's obviously both, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, in a totally different environment, totally different offense. Like, I think Bruce Arians is a great coach, and you know, they got some great receivers there, you know, but it's going to be a totally different thing after 20 years in one place. So, you know, there's so many questions. How does Brady adjust to, you know, playing somewhere totally different? How does he adjust to, you know, different terminology and different playbooks? How does he adjust to a different voice, you know, working with him at the top? I mean, when does age become a factor? I mean, a lot of people have said age became a factor for Brady last season, but does he hit that wall in Tampa? So, you know, it's very intriguing. I mean, look, if you go by what he's done in the past, you know, and you give him, you know, guys like Godwin and the tight ends that they have there, Mike Evans, I mean, you give him all of that to work with, it's really intriguing to see how this turns out. And those two Brady Breeze matchups, you know, are going to be a whole lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I would think at least one of those, Stan, would be in prime time, huh? Has to be.
I would think so. I mean, you know, they're probably fighting over that one. You know, the one in New Orleans especially, I'm sure they're probably fighting over that one, because, you know, those night games in New Orleans are always a lot of fun.
Stan, from a sports perspective, just in general, and this is a little bit of a generalization, maybe not even a fair question, I don't know, we'll see. But of the sports leagues, the big three, MLB, NBA, and NFL, who's handled this the best? For my money, it would be the NBA. I think they did it right.
Well, you know, I go to the Ivy League, because even before the NBA, the Ivy League was the first one to cancel their conference tournament. And as soon as that happened, that's when I said, you know what, this is really serious, because that's a heavy concentration of really smart people among all those universities. And when they said, we're not having a conference tournament at all, I was like, okay, this is going to be something bigger than people realize right now. And then I believe it was the next day the NBA suspended play. And then when that happened, I think people sort of took notice when the colleges started doing it. But when the NBA said, listen, we're shutting this down, and people understand the economic ramifications of making a decision like that by a major pro sports league, maybe the most popular league worldwide outside of the English Premier League in soccer, you know? And so for them to say, look, we're shutting it down completely, was just something I think that made a lot of people wake up. But I give the Ivy League credit for making that definitive stand early based on their knowledge of what was about to transpire.
Stan, I gotta admit, and I was one of the ones that critiqued college baseball when they canceled the College World Series. And now, knowing what we know now, it certainly looks like the right decision. I'm a big college baseball guy, but knowing what we know now, certainly it's the right decision.
Yeah, I covered that LSU team in 2000. I won national championship. That's one of my favorite teams that I've ever covered, because those guys were just so good. They were so much fun to watch, and they just kind of could feel it all along that this team's going to go all the way, you know, kind of like the 09 Saints. And so, you know, I was disappointed to see that too, but I think we'll find out as more and more every day that, you know, this is something that could extend to the fall, because, you know, when I think about it right now, and I think about the possibility of sitting in a stadium with 70,000 people, you know, this fall, and you think about it right now, it just kind of said, like, how do we get from where we are now? Like, you think about 3 weeks ago, and you think, how do we get from where we were then to where we are now? And then we sit here and we say, okay, so how do we get from where we are now to back to feeling comfortable with, you know, 70,000 people packed into a stadium and then the, you know, the massive lines going in and going out where people are, you know, rubbing up against each other. I mean, it's going to take a lot of work to keep people safe, and then a lot of work to reassure people that it's okay. I saw Dr. Fauci earlier today say that this thing could reemerge in the fall, you know? So we just don't know enough about it, I think, especially if the most credible scientists in the world are still saying, well, maybe this could happen or maybe that could happen, then we certainly as lay people don't know what to expect. So this is just kind of a wait and see thing. I mean, it's a unique period in the history of the world. I mean, the entire world is on pause right now. And it's a remarkable thing to see. And I don't mean that in a positive way. I just mean in terms of just the magnitude of it is a thing that I don't know it's going away in the short term. And then how do you reassure people even after we feel like we have an idea of what it is, of how it's spread? I mean, just from the data collection, from the clinical trials that they do on vaccines and all the information, when it's all tabulated, when it's all collected, and the scientists feel like they have an idea, then you still have to reassure the public that this is indeed okay. And that's gonna be a big task.
Zach, you got anything for Stan?
I'm good, man. Stan, we appreciate you coming on, buddy. It's always good to talk to you, and I hope that I get to see you in New Orleans this year, and it seems like every day it feels a little bit more realistic that we could miss entire seasons of some of these sports leagues this year. I certainly hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope that, you know, somehow this takes a turn for the better, but it's really going to be on the scientific community right now to help us understand what's going on. I mean, the medical community, they're on the back end dealing with the actual issues as they present themselves. And I've just seen some stories of heroism of people, you know, in hospitals around the country without, in some cases, the volume of gear that they need to get their jobs done, but still there because, you know, they feel a calling. I saw Dr. Corey Hebert, who's on Channel 6 there in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet from him earlier today that said, listen, we're doctors. You know, this is not a job, it's a calling. So we have to continue doing what we're doing. So they're on the front lines fighting this, but the scientific community are the ones who are going to give us the roadmap and the game plan. So, you know, I just hope that they can keep studying this and come up with some answers.
Stan, I have a couple more for you. One, have you rewatched Super Bowl 44 amongst this home isolation?
I haven't since this has happened. I haven't, but a couple of months beforehand, I watched the whole playoffs from that year and came away with a few observations. I was on the radio in Lafayette talking with Scott Prather, and I was telling him like Devery Henderson was one of the unsung heroes of that playoffs. I mean, he seemed to make a bunch of key plays that kind of went under the radar, but when the team was in like a second and long situation and they needed to kind of get into a third and manageable, or when, you know, they needed to pick up a critical first down. I mean, he made a lot of plays that don't stand out. You know, you remember Reggie from the Arizona game where he just dominated that game. And, you know, you remember Lance Moore with the 2-point conversion and Pierre with the dive in the end zone. But Devery made a lot of plays that were under the radar. But it's just always so much fun to watch you guys, Zach. And just I've told the story before, but I went up to Oakland in the preseason that year. You guys played Oakland in Oakland and just destroyed them. And I think it was the third preseason game, the dress rehearsal. And I watched it with Mickey Loomis. And I told him that day, I said, Mickey, I've been watching this team since I was 5 years old. And this is the best team that I've ever seen. This best Saints team I've ever. I was like, this feels to me like a Super Bowl team. I hope I'm not jinxing it, but this feels like a Super Bowl team to me. And then I saw him after the game at the hotel in Miami, and I said, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? So I was happy I hadn't jinxed you guys.
Stan, it's go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, different situations in how you view things differently, and I'm sure that game was so exciting to a fan. I think we scored 21 points in the first quarter. It was unbelievable how easily the offense was moving the ball. Now, I was a backup at that time. It's the third preseason game, and I'm going, okay, I'm good, you know, till halftime at least, and, you know, maybe a drive in the third quarter and, you know, kind of mentally getting right. Well, the first quarter wasn't over, and they said, okay, twos are in, because the one scored three touchdowns in about 8 minutes, and it was about 94 degrees that day. It was incredibly hot for the area, right? And we're on this baseball diamond playing football, and I remember I gave up a bad hit on Chase Daniel against Cameron Wembley, and I have such bad memories of that game. We were dehydrated, right? It's the middle of camp. It was awful. And you're absolutely right. It was a great game, and it was kind of an eye-opener for everyone, and also kind of fascinating. Ronnie Lott talked to the team before that, the night before that football game, and gave us the message to smell greatness, which is one of the phrases that ended up on the Super Bowl ring that year.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome. I didn't know that. Cool. Learned something new.
Yeah, there you go.
Stan, before I let you run, I'll give you a suggestion of something to watch, kind of bide time, a sporting event. You may have already done it, but I always liked boxing, heavyweight boxing, during the Mike Tyson era. So I went back and watched the Buster Douglas Mike Tyson fight in Tokyo. That was one of the biggest upsets in sporting history. Now that was a good time, good way to pass the time.
I thought you were going to say Tiger King, but
everybody, I know that's the new craze. I know. I haven't gotten into it yet. I'm going to, though.
Oh my God, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. I mean, you're going to be sitting there just looking at the TV with your mouth wide open. Even watching it alone, you'll still be sitting there with your mouth wide open, like I don't believe what I just saw.
And Stan, since you've seen it, and I've been recommending this to everyone, there was a documentary came out about 7 years ago called The Elephant in the Room. So go and search out The Elephant in the Room, and that is a documentary about the exotic animal trade in the United States, and it is another one. Now, there's no Joe Exotic in that documentary. There's no other Joe Exotic in history, but it is an eye-opening documentary that I've been recommending to people because it is mind-blowing that stuff even exists.
Yeah, I saw somebody on Twitter saying that Joe Burrow, if he goes from LSU Tigers to Cincinnati Bengals, he should rename himself the Tiger King. I'm like, no, don't do it, Joe. Don't do it.
That's good. Well,
Stan, thank you so much. Stay safe, and we'll get through this. If everybody just follows the direction of what we're being asked to do. Stan Verrett of ESPN,
yes,
co-anchor,
sir.
Sports Center.
Thanks, Stan.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.